Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome back to hour number two on what is often referred to as a Taco Tuesday, because it's always about the food, it seems like. But I tell you what else is about. This dipper that I'm doing right now, I'm calling it Protecting Kids. And okay, so let me back up. Use your words, Phil. Kids are a gift from God. They just are. And anybody who tells you different just doesn't know. The end result is that kids are our greatest resource. They are a joy and a blessing. You know, I've heard it said that anyone can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. And that's because raising kids is an honor and a blessing. And so is working with kids. And protecting kids is actually a duty and a responsibility. Well, sometimes it's the things that happen in culture, but sometimes it's official legislative action, things that happen in government. And I told you about a few things before we got going, but let me just go ahead and bring somebody in now who has really been in the mix, in the fray, and been on the show several times over the last couple of years, Malia Stevens. So Malia Stevens, you may recall, she's a licensed counselor with Wellspring Christian Clinic in Birmingham. She's got her undergrad from Samford University. She got her master's in marriage and family therapy from Abilene Christian University in Texas. And she is also, by the way, a board member on the National Center for Sexual Exploitation in Washington, D.C. She does work that I don't know that I could possibly do. And she cares deeply about her mission in life. Let me bring her on. Malia Stevens, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for making some time. Listen, my friend, I think it's important for people to understand maybe your background and your mission in life. So before we even get into the legislation, would you just kind of remind folks who you are and what you do?
Certainly. I'd be happy to. Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm a marriage and family therapist, a wife and a mom. And since I was a little girl, I knew I wanted to work with families in some capacity. I used to listen to Dr. Dobson on the radio, actually, and I was like, I want to do that one day. And so I love working with families. I really do love seeing families and relationships strengthened. But over the course of the 25 years I've been in private practice, from the very beginning, I was seeing cases where pornography was, you know, just destroying lives, harming lives, hurting marriages, and seeing it affect couples and individuals. But over the years, I was seeing younger and younger people who were really being devastated by exposure to hardcore addictive content. And it kind of came to a head between 2009 and 2011. I was seeing families who brought in young children. I don't really specialize in young children, but I work mostly with adults and teenagers. But they just brought in some children because they knew I worked with these types of cases who were addicted to pornography, like little girls, little boys, ages 6 to 11, who after one or two exposures to hardcore pornography had gotten hooked and had their frontal lobe hijacked by this material, and they were falling into these patterns of child-on-child harmful sexual behavior, which is really common when a child is exposed to pornography because it kind of traumatizes them. That's how they cope with it. So I was seeing these cases, and it was just heartbreaking. These were good kids from good homes, but they were in this pattern, and they were going to great lengths to get their hands on pornography because they couldn't get it at home at this point. And so I was seeing how much of a hold it had. And at the same time, I was working with three survivors of sex trafficking, two of whom had been forced to create pornography against their will when they were captive. One was a male, one was a female. And so my mind was just kind of exploding with understanding the overlapping influence of pornography and all the different types of sexual exploitation, how they're interconnected. So I was crying all the time, basically, and the Lord broke my heart over it. And I was like, okay, God, I've got this burden. What do you want me to do with it? And he's like, well, you're going to raise awareness. You're going to do something with it. So long story short, that's how I began to get connected with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation back in 2012. And since then, we've done many campaigns and worked on legislation. In 2020, we passed a resolution to declare pornography a public health crisis in Alabama.
Yeah.
And we've been working diligently on some other measures to protect kids online. But we we fight some heavy opposition, and so, but it's been good, and I think our state's come a long way in terms of their awareness and desire to see things shift for children in particular.
Well, I'll never forget, and I think I mentioned this to you once before you were on the show. My daughter, who's an adult now, was doing a school project, and I want to say she was like maybe 10 years old, and she had to do a story on the White House, and you may know where I'm going now. She just innocently went online with no intent to look up anything illicit and stumbled into it without knowing, because they some of these sites, they know exactly what they're doing. They put themselves right out there in such a way that they can be stumbled upon easily. And my daughter was so upset because she literally just found herself on a website that just was horrible for her. And it was a porn site that called itself whitehouse.something. And all said and done, sometimes there's the actual exploitation. Other times there is the preventable accidental things that can lead to bigger problems if we don't just take the easy steps to prevent them. And right, that's what this legislation we're looking at right now does in the State House. It's so easy. And it's also been really resisted the last few years.
Right, right. Yeah, it really is. And you're right to share that story about your daughter, because the pornography industry really comes after children. They target children. You may have seen the Senate hearings of, I guess it was last year, where like Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn and several others had social media execs on the stand and calling them out for how they've knowingly allowed children to be exploited on their platforms, and basically said, you've got a profit target on each child, like you see them as a profit target. And that is truly the case. Unfortunately, the more you get behind the scenes, the more you see that this is really not just accidental. It's pretty sinister on the part of big tech and the pornography industry in many cases. They want to data mine our children. They want to sell the data. The pornography industry wants to hook our kids as early as possible, because they make more money off of them.
Yeah.
And it's pretty evil. And we, at every hearing, we've got lobbyists on the other side representing Apple, Google, the pornography industry, and oftentimes AT&T, sometimes Verizon, things like that. And then on our side, you've got parents and medical professionals and tech and legal experts demonstrating why this is so simple and why it's so needed. But it's pretty cut and dry between the two different sides of the issue as it relates to the innocence and the protection and the well-being of our children.
Well, and I look at it too, and I realize you know the deal. Like you can, if you're online shopping, if you go to a website, next thing you know, all of your ads and everything else, they begin to geo-target you. So it's not just the site itself. Sometimes it's all the stringers that grab hold of the site, and like you said, they data mine. And next thing you know, they're flooding your home internet with things that you almost can't avoid it at some point if you're not careful. Let me ask you this: Senate Bill 186 is the one you and I have talked about before. It should have already passed, but right now it has passed the Senate. And we're moving towards the House. Talk about that one first. That's the one that has the porn filter that all it has to do is be engaged.
Exactly. So it's called the Safer Devices for Kids Act. And you're right, it's Senate Bill 186. And it is being carried by Senator Clyde Chambliss and Representative Chris Sells in the House. And the last 2 years, that bill, identical pretty much, the last 2 years passed unanimously through the House. But it was not allowed for a final vote in the Senate. So opposition forces were able to kind of snuff it out in the Senate. This year, through a really dramatic effort from Senate leadership, it was able to make it through the Senate, and now we're going to be working our way back through the House. So I'm hopeful that since it's already passed the House the last 2 years, it will make it across the finish line this year. But you're right, it really should have already passed, and had it already passed and gone into effect, you know, young children would really be protected by this bill, because all that it does is it requires that device manufacturers, whenever a device like a tablet or a smartphone is activated for a minor in the state of Alabama, the existing filtering technology will just simply be defaulted on instead of it being off as it is now. And so an adult can turn it off later if they want to with a passcode, but a child will be handed a safer device. And, you know, older kids can maybe figure some things out, but younger children in particular are going to be, all kids will be better protected, but it's a layer of protection for young children so they don't stumble on it, because 47% of the time kids are going to accidentally stumble upon pornography on smartphones and tablets when they're young.
You know what's crazy is that filter already exists, like you said. It comes from the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. When you get the phone at the point of sale, it's already on the phone, which is a clear indication that they know that people want this. But they just don't tell you it's there. It's kind of like selling shoes that have shoelaces, but nobody ties the shoes. I mean, it's designed to do something,
it's like,
and it's there for a reason.
Car. It's like selling somebody a car, but putting the seat belts, they're not connected, and they're in the back of the trunk or something.
Yes.
You've got to go read the manual and figure out how to put your seat belts on.
That's a great, because, that's better than my shoes and shoelaces, yeah.
Yours was good, too.
Well, all right, listen, this bill is moving, and I'm prayerful and hopeful that it's going to finally pass, and shame on them if it doesn't. But the other bill, which is new, Senate Bill 187, at least new to me, Senate Bill 187 just passed the Senate also, and this requires the App Store to do age verification. Tell me about that one real quick.
This one is awesome. It's much more it's more comprehensive. They're both important. We need both of them, but this one is really great because... And both of these bills have already passed Utah, and the app bill is currently progressing really well in Texas, just by the way. But this one, it requires that the device manufacturers and the app developers work together to better protect children. And essentially, it's going to empower parents as well, because right now, children can go onto they can purchase an app without necessarily having parental approval. You know, a child can't go into a store and buy cigarettes or alcohol, and they can't go into a bank and sign a contract, you know, for a loan. But they're essentially going into contract with these multi-billion-dollar companies whenever they sign up for an app, and children can't consent to that. So this bill is really focused on consent law.
Yeah.
And it's requiring that the device manufacturers notify the app developers, hey, this is a minor that's about to try to sign up for your app, and then the parents have to be notified at every single time. The parents have to be notified, and they can either accept or deny request. And then also, the other thing that is amazing is that it's going to require these app developers to actually have accurate age ratings, because right now they can put any age rating they want to on them. It's just completely subjective, and you've got so many apps that are marketed as safe for children, but they're actually breeding grounds. They're places where predators are really coming after our children at younger and younger ages. So it's going to tighten up all that and just make it a safer digital environment for our kids.
Well, I am hopeful. So let me ask you this. We got about maybe a minute and a half here. What's your expectation? Because we're down to the wire. We got, what, maybe 1 week worth of legislative action potential here left. And and what are you hearing? Because they're through the Senate, and I think you told me offline that the Senate bills are what's going to travel now. We're gonna move those. So what's your anticipation regarding when they'll come to the floor, and what kind of promises, or for that matter, fears, are you hearing from leadership?
I'm hearing that we're still going to have to battle Apple and Google and perhaps some of the pornography industry and AT&T as well, but Apple and Google in particular, for both bills, but especially the app bill, and they don't want to be regulated. They don't want to lose access to our kids. They don't want to have to have any kind of, they're one of the only, you know, entities that's not regulated in any way, shape, or form, and they don't want to have that happen. So they're fighting us really hard, and we need our legislators to understand that parents, you know, I'll say this too, we've done polling, 83% of Alabama residents, Republican and Democrat, want to see these bills pass. But we need our legislators to understand that they're being, you know, really watched. Are they going to align with big tech and the pornography industry? Are they going to align with our children and our families? So we're going to have a battle. We know that there's still going to be an effort to stall it and potentially kill it. So if your listeners would not mind taking the time to call Speaker Ledbetter's office, other leadership, and just let them know that you care about these bills, that you really want to see them cross the finish line this year.
Yeah, that's the Senate Bill 186 and the Senate Bill 187. And what are the nicknames for the bills? You called them something a moment ago.
The App Store Accountability Act is Senate Bill 187.
Yeah.
And the Safer Devices for Kids Act is Senate Bill 186.
Okay. All right. Listen, Malia Stevens, would you please just kind of keep us posted? And if you see things moving or not moving, we'll jump you back on the air at a moment's notice and keep the audience updated on this, okay?
That would be awesome. Thank you so much, Phil.
All right. Malia Stevens, licensed professional counselor at Wellspring Christian Clinic. We appreciate your work, and we'll have you back on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Rand Long coming back for a short segment. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.